gonna see the money, baby, and everything gonna be alright. I'm gonna see the money, darling, and everything gonna be alright. But right now, I got the play to load down dirty blue. Look here. Well, now, don't you pout, but don't you shout. I see you in the morning with all my good loving. Gonna see you in the morning, baby. Everything gonna be alright. Oh, yeah. But right now, darling, I got the play to load down dirty blue. Look out now.
We are recording, Joe.
Recording?
Yeah, we are recording. It's Jim's AE, Jim Rustemar, talking to the amazing blues musician, Joe Survival Caruso. And I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while. Awful good to talk to you. And I'm glad you learned how to use Skype. Skype is a good thing. But, like I said, I've been looking forward to talking to you. And, been playing a bunch of tracks from You've Never Had These Blues, you know, on Lake House Records today, and we've been playing it on the radio shows for a while, you know, and people love it. People do love it, I tell you. Yeah, I want to thank my buddy Maurice for helping us out here also, and yeah, like I said, he's from New Orleans too. Yeah, he's from down around there.
New Orleans, okay.
Yeah, that you were raised down there, weren't you?
I'm born and raised in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yep. Grew up most of my life down there.
Yeah, that's where the blues pretty much was born, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, down in that area.
Well, it was.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of what you heard other than music in church was either the blues or country, wasn't it?
Say that again?
Yeah, a lot of the music that you grew up with was probably blues and country, wasn't it?
Well, a lot of blues, rock and roll, sort of everything. Jazz.
A little bit of everything.
Cajun music. When you live in New Orleans, you grew up with everything. Opera.
I don't hear a whole lot of opera, you know, influenced in your music, though. There's a little country. There's some blues. There's some funk. A lot of soul.
Yeah. Gospel. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All in my household when I was growing up. All that type of music.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you did come from a musical family. You know, I did notice that from your bio. Yeah, you got anything you want to say about that?
They were musically inclined, but I'm the first of the family that ventured out onto the stage, you know. Now, people mostly, they kept it at home or they played in church, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's always a good thing, too. That's kind of where I came from, too, but, you know, I definitely, you know, definitely can hear a lot of the New Orleans sound and what you're doing. It's just amazing. But yeah, I did have a few questions for you, and I don't want to talk all over you here.
All right.
You know, trying not to be rude. I wasn't raised that way.
I understand.
But how hard was it to record You Never Had These Blues as a live album? That still is pretty astonishing. How hard was it to record it?
Okay, this is how it went down. I had wrote the song a month before we recorded it. And then Reno, the producer, heard me play it one day at a rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided that we were going to go and record it. So we had another rehearsal. We went over all original songs.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, we recorded the CD live. It was real scary.
Just one song after another?
One song after another, with only one rehearsal.
Oh, my goodness.
And 2 days in between to think about it.
Well, you got to take a little time to reflect on it before you go in and do it. Yeah, that's got a lot to do with you being a professional and working with professionals, though. You know, and with people who know you, I think that's got a lot to do with making it click.
Yeah, well, I was fortunate to have some guys that knew what they was doing, and we had a very good recording engineer, Chris Short, and he did a really good job with that mixing it.
Oh, that is sweet.
With the live CD.
And no overdubs?
No overdubs.
Wow.
Never went back to the studio and overdubbed anything, no.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I mean, your vocals are just right on the mark. You know, the lead guitar, and it just cooks. I mean, and that's, you know, I played the CD to my girlfriend, and she's into a lot of, you know, electronic music and, you know, heavier stuff. And she heard that, and she said, I mean, that is just, that's exactly the kind of blues I want to hear.
Yeah, well,
and for it to reach all these other people, you know, who are into, you know, different styles of music, you know, that's quite an accomplishment, Joe. I mean, it definitely is.
Yeah, well, you know, it's my upbringing, my heritage, part of, mm-hmm. you know, being a Creole mix out of New Orleans. You know, I hear all types of music, so some of my songs are not straight up hardcore blues. It's a little mixed with some other type feelings and stuff, you know. But it's all me. It's not an imitation. It's all me. It's real.
Yeah. Do you prefer recording live?
It's fun, but I'd rather do it in a studio.
Yeah. Well, I know you worked as a studio musician for a while. I mean, that's got to be, you know, a big change going back out and getting back on stage again.
Yeah, I spent some time in some studio work. I have. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting all this stuff from your bio. That's where a lot of these questions are coming from. Yeah, and I talked to Reno yesterday for a while on the phone, too. But, yeah, I know you worked as a studio musician for a while, too. The dog's in trouble. You've been at this for a long, long time. I know that for a fact. I mean, what lessons have you learned in, you know, that have changed how you do things now? Because I know you still perform live quite a bit.
Well, yeah. I have to perform live, That's where my money is, to pay my bills, my live performance.
Oh, absolutely. Has anything changed that from stuff that you learned when you were starting out? I mean, do you feel like you're a different person, or are you the same guy?
Well, I'm a little more wiser than I was back then.
Yeah.
And a little more calmer. I was back in the day, I was wild and very show offish.
Yeah. Well, you were always the band leader, though. You know, so you had to have that. I mean, you were pretty much the band leader from the time you were 15 years old, weren't you?
Yes, my first band was 15. My classmates, we formed a dance band, a rhythm blues band, whatever you call it. Yeah, and we were pretty successful. Put that down in New Orleans. We landed house band gig at a beautiful nightclub called Club 77.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was beautiful. You know, it was a house band that we played every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The house band.
And you were the guy out front, right?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't out front. I was too shy and thought I couldn't sing, so I just played guitar and had the band. But we had some fantastic singers up front. You know, singing with us. You know. The band was nothing short. It was serious band. Serious band. It was called the Ecstatics.
Yeah, I saw that mentioned. I think it was in a review for your first CD for Lake House. Yeah, they had talked about the Ecstatics. You have worked with some great. I mean, well, you've toured with some great people like Ray Charles, Count Basie. I mean, I am a huge Ray Charles fan.
Well, I didn't get to tour with those guys, but I got to hear those guys play. They played at the big nightclub across the street from my house where I was raised as a kid.
Oh, okay. And, you know, so that's where that came from.
It was a big nightclub called Club Desire. And okay. I believe the building's still standing today, but it's not functioning. It's just a shell.
Mm-hmm.
It was a classy place. It was a real classy place. Ladies go there
Well, Count Basie was there. It had to be classy.
Yeah, we had Count Basie played there. I remember Donna Washington saying that. My mother was going crazy because she wanted to go.
Oh, yeah. Fats Domino.
But her dad wouldn't let her go in the club.
Oh, no. Well, you know, if got to watch out for your kids.
Yeah. Well, she was old. She was a woman, but he controlled her some way. And you can't go in that club without an escort, and I'm not going. You know, they got that. So.
But
anyway, a lot of well-known entertainers played there. So I got to hear this music, you know. And Memphis Slim, he became a friend of the family. He used to play at the club long before he went to Europe. Yeah, and he would come over to the house, right across the street, and he'd play on my grandmother's piano. And she'd give him a little drink of lemonade. I said, "Wouldn't give him something strong. Always a little lemonade, a little Coca Cola." And they sit there and talk for a few minutes, and he would go back across the street and play his game. You know? Yeah, it was like that. But as I grew up and put the band together, like Statics, well, that's where we started running into these legendary people.
Mm-hmm.
And the first person we worked with, actually, he was a sit-in. He came and sit-in with us. I'm going to tell you his name like that. Big Joe Turner.
Oh, okay. Now, that name I have heard.
Yeah, well, we were playing, the band was playing a brunch on a Saturday at a big restaurant, Hayes Chicken Shack. And we were playing around 12, 1 o'clock in the day. We're playing. And this gentleman came up on the stage and asked us could we play Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Mm.
We said, yeah. So we went on, we played for him, and he sang and everything. And then the drummer in our band, he said, "Aren't you somebody famous?" He said, yeah. He said, I'm Big Joe Turner. And we all like to fell out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that we got to play. But gig-wise stuff, early, Young Etta James. We opened shows for Young Etta James, Hank Crawford. Through time, Johnny Adams, Aaron Neville, Charles Neville, you know.
Oh, I love the Neville brothers.
Like that down in the wall.
Definitely.
Yeah, Thomas. Yeah, and as I went on through my career, I got to work open shows and play with I'm doing backup guitar work.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of, like Joe Simon, Joe Tex, Candy Staten, you know, people like that. I just can't name them all, man. There's so many. We worked shows with Solomon Burke. Buddy Ace was my last big entertainer that I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
I toured for 3 years and was a band leader. He died in 1995, I think it was. And he was a major influence. ZZ Hill, you know. We opened shows with Bobby Bland and Tyrone Davis and Shirley Brown, all folks like that, you know. You know, playing in New Orleans at the House of Blues.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet quite a few entertainers coming through there.
I just saw a video with Dr. John. Hadn't seen him in years.
Dr. John. I never worked with Dr. John, but we have I have opened some shows for him at the House of Blues. You know, be the first act on, we had to continue going, and he would come over to his band and tear the house down, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, he's an amazing performer still, you know, and he's got to be getting up there a little bit.
Oh, yes, yeah, Dr. John is what they say, the night tripper.
But, you know, but when you only go out at night, you don't age as fast, they say, you know, because the sun isn't hitting you.
Well,
but that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your middle name. You brought that back with you from Vietnam, didn't you?
No, Survival. I had a band in the 80s called Survival Band, and we were touring all around the United States, playing with a lot of artists and stuff, doing shows and stuff. And we got a booking in California.
Mm-hmm.
To go to California, to the Bay Area, up in the Oakland area. So we took the band up there, and people up there couldn't remember my name. You know, they would call me Survival. Hey, Survival, Survival Boy, Survival Man. You know, that kind of thing. So the name stuck. So that's how I became Survival, Joe Survival.
Well, I thought it came from you coming home from Vietnam, because I knew you'd served.
Well, I did survive Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, you definitely survived that. That's always a good thing. A lot of folks didn't.
Yeah, I survived Vietnam. I survived Hurricane Betsy. I survived the earthquakes over in California and the Oakland Hills fire. They burned up all the houses. I was over there for all that stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
I was lucky to get through it all. You know, in Katrina, Hurricane Katrina. Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you got really involved in Oakland. You're in the Bay Area Blues Society. You know, that must have been pretty good for you.
Well, yeah. Yeah, with Ronnie Stewart. He's the president of that Bay Area Blues Society. And I hooked up with the vice president at that time, who's the late, great Cool Papa Sadler. And we got to play all over California playing the blues. And I was a backup guitar player. And did that for a while. Now, I get you there. Well, where did he start singing?
Well,
it was in California when I really started singing lead.
I mean, because vocals got so much. I mean, there's so much emotion. I mean, you have the perfect voice for the blues to me. You and maybe Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah, but his is more like hollering. You know, I mean, it's like he's hollering in church. But you're actually singing.
Well, it comes from my soul, my heart, you know. I've always loved the blues. I'm a little kid, you know. I would sing some of the dirty blues around the house, and my grandmother would slap me on the head.
I mean, yeah, I've got a few of those.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, how do you describe the blues to people who really don't understand it? I was going to ask you that, and I know that's probably a weird question, but, you know, it means a lot of things to a lot of people, and all kind of different things.
You say, how would I describe my voice?
No, the blues. How do you describe? How would you describe the blues to somebody who really didn't understand it?
Well,
because I don't see it as a real. I don't see it as a sad, depressing subject matter. I mean, it's music about relationships. It's about people.
Well, the blues is many things. It's happiness. It's sadness. Mm-hmm. You know. Joyful, it comes in many ways, many forms, you know, the blues. But the blues will always come from your heart and your soul. It will touch you. It'll make you cry. You know, you'll be wondering, why I'm crying, you know. Blues will get you. They get you that way sometimes. You know, it's a very strong, it's a spiritual. It's another way to look at it, as a spiritual moment, yeah. I know a lot of people think spiritual is going to church and stuff, but you also have another spiritual thing, and that's the blues.
Yeah.
And you gotta realize that blues came from slavery, and you can't get much more spiritual than that. I mean,
yeah,
it was out there, yeah, singing about the master coming and stuff, you know. So he didn't know what was going on, because he thought they were singing a song, but they're singing that's where the blues came from. So.
Yeah, I heard a lot of those early spirituals, from a band called the Mighty Clouds of Joy. Vocal group.
Oh, yes.
And it would just break your heart. But they were so good at it.
Yeah, they're an awesome gospel group.
That's probably one of my favorite gospel groups. But, you know, they did a lot of stuff that was in the blues style. But a lot of it was very, you know, obviously very spiritual music. I mean, you played it in C, and, you know. But, when they came out and did a cappella stuff, I was in tears, you know, the first time I heard them. I mean, they were that good. And at that age, I wasn't going to cry for nothing, but very, very impressive.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, the leader of the group was Joe Lagan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from what I understand, he was the leader of that gospel group. But they were a very powerful group. They were my mother's favorite gospel group, too.
Yeah, I grew up on a lot of gospel, a lot of bluegrass, and they all kind of share the same apartment, but they're in a different room, you know.
Yeah. Well, those guys, Mighty Cloud, they were from Alabama.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw them on TV, and me and my dad were both crying the first time we saw them. I mean, it was quite a moment. Yeah, it definitely was. And that's what kind of got me to start drifting away from rock and roll a little bit more, and you know, looking for something that, you know, that was more personal. You know, it was more of a personal statement. You know, about feelings instead of attitudes, and you know,
right.
At that time in the '70s and the '80s, you know, a lot of rock music was about, you know, what kind of hair care products you were using and who was going to endorse your guitar. You know. But, it was when I first started a lot of the merchandising and things like that. So, yeah, it definitely turned me to a lot more personal. And you do, you write about your personal life. You don't write about stuff. I mean, everything you seem to write seems to be, you know, come right from your heart.
Well, yeah, a lot of stuff I write are personal, you know, things I've witnessed or went through, you know. So it's a lot of it's that way. Some of it's not, but most of it has been.
Yeah, how hard is it for you to write songs? I mean, is it something that comes really easily for you, or is it something that you really have to put a lot of work in?
Well, sometimes the hook lines come real easy to me, and I might get a good line, a good verse, might come real simple to me after Clear Blue. But then I have to think about the rest of the song, and it takes me a few days or so. Mm-hmm. To write it, get it all down, you know, and go back and read it and scratch it out and rewrite it all over again.
Now, do you like sit at the house with an acoustic guitar and write, or do you have to be in the studio and be plugged in to write?
No, I could just sit on the couch with a guitar or sitting in my car.
Mm-hmm.
When I play the guitar, songs will just come to me in my head, and some of the lyrics, and I'll put the lyrics together right then. Later, get back home or whatever, and get the guitar out and fool around with it and find some chord changes that I work with.
Yeah, I find myself playing at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but, you know, that's probably the time of the day that I can be the most aggravating to the rest of the people in the building.
Yeah, well, I don't have a particular time for songs. It will come to me in the morning, it might come to me at night, come mm-hmm. to me in the middle of the day, you know. But a lot of times when I'm writing my songs, I'm not loud and boisterous. I'm pretty mellow and down low with myself. You know, if people would be standing all around me, don't know what I'm doing, I'd be just sitting there writing a song.
Yeah, and you know, I tell you what, you know, the songs all sound like they're coming from a personal place. It doesn't sound like you're sitting back and, you know, being a casual observer. You're actually experiencing what you're writing about. So that's, you know, I think that's what makes your music appeal to a lot of people that I've played it to.
Yeah,
I mean, they get that you're speaking from the heart, you know, and they can hear it, you know, they can hear it in the type of songs that you're performing and then the way that you're actually performing them, you know, and nobody can beat your voice for those songs, I'll tell you that, and then the guitar style.
Well, it's just me being pure, you know. I couldn't do it no any other kind of way, you know, but that way. I can't fake it.
Yeah, how do you like Florida? I was going to ask you about that, because I know you finally wound up in Florida.
Yep, I'm down here.
Deal.
I'm down here with the alligators and stuff.
You got the mouse nice. Down there, too. You got Disneyland down there, too, so.
Yeah, Florida's a nice place to be, you know. It's a nice place to be. But I must confess, I do miss New Orleans, you know. And, got a lot of relatives down home, and I miss those New Orleans ways, traditions.
Well, it's got a different pace to it, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, well,
everybody does things their own way.
Yeah, well, it's one kind of a place. It's not another place like New Orleans. I have been a lot of places around the country, and I've been over across the seas, but New Orleans is a special place.
Yeah, how'd you feel about touring in Europe? I mean, how was that experience for you? Was it a good time, or was it a bad time, or
playing in Europe?
Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. I went there with Buddy Jason and the band. We had a big band,
mm-hmm.
and they brought us all over to Germany, and it was just awesome. And the first night we played in Berlin. I won't tell you the name of the club, man. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, as we pulled up to the club, they had all these people. They must have well over 1,000 people outside the club.
Oh my.
So we're saying, what's going on? What happened? You know, and the chauffeur, he says, these people are here for the show tonight. You said, well, they can't get in? He said, no, the place is too packed. They cannot get in. But
they love the blues in Germany. I've been told that before.
They treated us well, and we was there for a little over a week. Not in Berlin, but touring around Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And every place we went, it was packed, and they treated us well. The people really did. You know, I didn't want to come back.
they respond to the blues there. I've got some friends over there. I got a real good friend in Hamburg, and there's a whole blues scene there. You know, people really love
it. It was. I hate to say it, but they treated us so well over there. I mean, we got better reception and acknowledgement and everything that we do here in the States. And that's just sad to say it. But it was quite an experience. I mean. You know, to see your pictures on billboards, biggest buildings and stuff. I said, wow, you know,
excellent.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, they rolled out a red carpet for us. They did. They rolled it out more than once. Yeah, red carpet. It was awesome.
You've toured so long. I mean, you've been in the business, you know, for so long. I mean, how do you keep it fresh? I mean, how do you keep the enthusiasm up? I mean, is it the audience or something spiritual or what?
Well, it's spiritual, but at the same time, I think of the people that come out to support, and that helps me. I want to try to give them something new if I can. You know, try to keep it live for them. They're a big help in this. You know, the fans.
Well, your fans are enthusiastic people. That I know. I just know that just from Facebook. I mean, you know, your fans are very dedicated.
Oh yeah, the fans are dedicated. Really, really. I just had an experience. Booch and I, we just had an experience down in Fort Myers. We went to Fort Myers, Florida, and played a club called the Barrel Room. And man, those folks down there, they was really live. They really appreciated us. I mean, they were screaming and yelling and they were dancing and applauding and, oh man, I sold a bunch of CDs and everything. It was awesome.
That is that's fantastic. I mean, to get a response like that. Yeah, so that's what keeps you going, is just the fans more than anything, right?
Yeah, well, but it's hard to keep the bands together. You know, because you might work 4 or 5 days or 3 days, and then you're not working enough, and some of the guys will go off and do other things, so you got to put in your place. Yeah, it's hard to keep a band together nowadays, not like it used to be.
Are there any tricks to being a good band leader?
What about being a band leader? Dang it.
Are there any tricks? I mean, are there any advice to the people that are going to hear this about being a good band leader?
Well, to be a band leader, you gotta be on your P's and Q's, on your toes. You got to do your research of where you're playing and keep account of what kind of funds you're gonna get in there, and you gotta talk to the fellas and make sure that they understand they gotta play this music. And, you know, we can't have no half stepping. It's like being a sergeant in the army.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, or being a stern daddy with children.
Yeah, I kind of get that. You know, I've worked with some people that you had to kind of keep motivated and make sure that their girlfriend didn't show up a week later. I'm pregnant. We have to go get a job in a steel mill. Oh, really?
You know, it's all sorts of things that come up. You know?
So, it will come up from time to time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then again, I started at an early age as a bandy. I started at 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I had a lot. I had a lot to learn, and I had good people to learn it from. I had some excellent musicians and band leaders that was older than I was that taught me how to do the thing right. You know, showed me how to go along and do it, and I took it from there. So you know. Band leader.
Oh yeah. Well, I've noticed you play a lot of different guitars. I mean, I see you playing an Epiphone. I see you playing an Ibanez. I mean, I think I've even seen you playing some Gibsons. I mean, do you have a preference?
Well, I love Gibson guitars. In fact, majority of my music career, I played Gibsons. I had Gibson HG.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And then, much later down in my life, somebody gave me a Fender Strat.
Oh, yeah.
And, I played that. And it was really nice. And I liked it. But it was a difference between that and the Gibson. And
it's night and day going from a humbucker to Strats. Yeah, and I love the sound of both. But they both have, they both have a different voice.
Yeah. Well, then I discovered another guitar. Had an experience there. We had a robbery. We was out on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they broke in a trailer and stole all our instruments. Guitars, anyway. Guitars, bass, and stuff like that. So I was supposed to get another guitar. And I got one out of the pawn shop. And, I won't tell you the name of the guitar right now. It's in my mind. But anyway, it wasn't a Gibson. It wasn't Fender. And it just became one of the best guitars I ever played.
Yeah, I've seen you with so many different guitars. I mean, they're all really gorgeous. You got great tasting guitars, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen you with a couple Ibanez. Yeah, and you had an Epiphone Les Paul.
Yeah, it was an Ibanez. That was the guitar. It was an Ibanez. Ibanez guitar, and when I played that guitar, it was like, wow, you know. But that became my love, that Ibanez. Sadly, I lost it in Katrina. But
you lost everything in Katrina. I remember reading that.
Yeah, I lost everything except for
yourself.
Two guitars, and I had an amp because I was out on the gig. I was on the road when Katrina hit. Yeah, but everything else went down the tube. You name it, it went down, you know. So, not doing enough things, man.
that was rough on a lot of folks. That's a piece of American history that is never going to get forgotten.
Nope. And I'm still trying to recover in some way from Katrina.
Oh, yeah, it's going to take decades. Yeah, so much history was lost, you know, for the city itself.
Oh yeah, a lot of stuff went down. That can't be replaced.
But most of them, the people and the spirit's still there. I mean, I keep getting that told that by some friends I got down in New Orleans. But yeah,
New Orleans people, they're hard to kill their spirit. I mean, they might be down for a minute,
mm-hmm.
but they'll bounce right back up.
That's a good thing. That is a good thing. Have you ever had an opportunity to go back and play?
Once. I went back in not so long after Katrina. I went back and did a big wedding reception down there.
Mm-hmm.
For some rich folks down there. But I haven't been back. I haven't been back since. I haven't been able to get back. Yeah, been too much on this end.
Well, Florida definitely loves you. You know, I can tell that.
Well,
there's places to play down there.
Florida's a great place. It's a really nice place to be, you know. A really nice place to be.
Well, there's a lot of opportunities. You know, I've been told that. I don't know. I've never had the opportunity myself, but I've been told that there's a lot of places to play in Florida. You know, there's a lot of clubs, you know, of course, with the vacation spot and everything. You know, you're going to have a lot of opportunities for live music, but getting harder and harder to find places where they actually have live music.
I know. That's the other thing. We're struggling to try to keep the blues alive, you know, because that's Americana music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That music is American music. We need to keep that alive, and it's real. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing we actually get to keep.
Yeah.
The blues. We get to keep the blues and maybe bluegrass as well. You know. But a lot of that's more Celtic and Irish.
Yeah.
And where a lot of that came from with the mandolins and stuff.
I'm out of Kentucky, out of Tennessee, huh? Bluegrass.
Hmm. But yeah, I was going to ask. I only had like one or two other things I was going to ask because I didn't want to keep you too long. I know that you know, you'd never had these blues. Yeah, it's been out what, about a year?
No, never had the blues that long.
Getting close.
Getting close to a year, yeah. It's getting close.
No, what about the future? The next CD, do you already have that written, or is that something you're going to be working on pretty soon?
Well, I have some songs for another CD. I don't know when we're going to go in and record them yet, though. I haven't talked to Reno about that. He has a lot of projects going on. But
He's a pretty busy fella.
Oh yeah, bro. He's a one man show.
Yeah, I love the guy to death. I mean, I've had some great conversations with him. He's so down to earth and just totally bluntly honest, and that's the kind of stuff I have total respect for. Yeah, you ask him a question, he tells you the truth. He doesn't, you know, soft pedal anything or put any insulation on it. You get the whole thing.
Yeah, he'll smack you in the face with the truth.
A hell of a drummer too.
Well, he had quite a few years on the road. Professional musician, so you know, I go with the tail to it.
He told me yesterday the reason he liked it, he works with you and works with John Rainey and Sean Patrick and all these folks is, I love it. He said, you know, I'm not going to get rich. You know, I love it. I love doing it. I love working with musicians, you know.
Yeah, he does it. He does it with a passion.
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But, yeah, it's just because he's got a passion for it.
Yeah.
He asked me why I do these radio shows and work on Mixposure.com. I said, because I like working with musicians. I mean, I get something out of it. And you can't get it anywhere else.
No,
you really can't. So are you, you are planning another CD at some point? Maybe this year?
Hopefully, but we haven't got to the studio yet. But I do have songs on another CD. Hopefully, this next CD is going to be basically all blues. Like, never had this blues before. It's not basically all blues. It's got a couple of funk songs in it. And never had the blues. It's kind of on a bossa nova kind of groove, you know, Santana.
There was some stuff that was a little more middle of the road,
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, good song's a good song. But the next one, I'm playing on the straight hardcore solid blues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it's gonna be. Yeah.
Well, if it turns out half as good as the last
blues fans,
one, yeah, it'll be amazing.
Well, I hope so.
Oh yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I keep the musicians by my side.
Mm-hmm. You
know? So it'll be all right.
Do you have any big gigs coming up here in the near future? Joe, are you still there?
Oh, and then coming up, next Saturday, I'll be at the Black Hammer in Oviedo. I'm doing a show over there in the Black Hammer in Oviedo. And then after that, I got another big show coming up in July. Down in Sebastian, Florida, at Earl's Hideaway. That's going to be on the 24th, Sunday, the 24th of August. I mean, the 24th of July. So, they're a little spaced out, you know. But that's okay. It gives me time to think and relax.
Some
songs. And put a tight show together for the venues.
Well, I'll tell you, it's that time of year, though. There are some gigs. You know, there are some gigs out there.
Yeah. I'm shooting at them. And they're coming at me.
Yeah. But, Joe, I really do. I thank you so much for having a conversation with me. I mean, and anytime you got some announcement or something you want to make, just let me know, you know, and I'll do my best to get it out to everybody. A tremendous respect for what you've accomplished and the person that you are and what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate you letting me do this on your program, you know?
Yeah, we're going to definitely get it out there. I mean, I told Reno months ago when we first started talking that, you know, I'd love to talk to the folks that are, you know, working with Lake House Records and Publishing and, you know, try to do everything I could to get the music out there to people. And, you know, he's been very accommodating. I mean, well, he turned right around and called you right after I got done talking to him. He said, well, you know, I don't think he's doing anything tomorrow or something like that. And I'm glad Bootsy was able to get everything hooked up for you. And by the way, please say hi to her for me.
Yeah, I'll see you later on today.
She sounds like quite a character.
Yeah. Oh, Bootsy. Well,
Bootsy is
a character.
Mm-hmm.
Reno
says she is a fantastic singer. He says she has a great voice.
Yeah, she has many talents. The singing is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
She knows how to lay it out.
Well, that is definitely the kind of people you want to be around. Yeah, to keep you sharp.
Yes.
But Joe, I appreciate your time, man. I thank you so much. And like I said, anytime you've got something you want to announce, you know, please let me know. You know, and we'll do our very best to do it. And it's mixposure.com. Your music's on there all the time. I probably gave away half a dozen of your CDs already. That's where all your money's going.
Okay, all right. Well, that's cool. We're getting their hands on. That's good.
Well, you know, talk to Reno. He's the one that said it was okay. But I thank you so much, Joe, and all my best to you. I hope you have a great summer. It's been a good opportunity for me, and I look forward to talking to you again. Okay.
Okay, Jim. Thank you, Jim. And thank you, Maurice.
Yeah, he just waved at you. I got the microphone over here. And he's allowed to talk, but he won't say much.
That's okay.
Yeah, as soon as we're done, he'll start talking. No. Well, thank you, Joe, and I hope you guys, like I said, I hope you have a great Father's Day, and thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you. Have a great day yourself.
All right. Bye-bye, Joe. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm gonna see you in the morning, baby. Everything.